Welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. Here are your hosts, Brooks and Drew.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. My name is Drew Bonds, joined alongside, as always, by Brooks Davis. And you guys don't know this, but this is our second time recording this because Brooks didn't hit the record button a minute ago. So we did 30 minutes of this already, if we realized that. So we're already 30 minutes ahead of everybody. But either way, we are happy to be here, and it was an awesome night in Jacksonville on Wednesday. JSU gets a huge win against Delaware, 38-25, in a game that we've already talked about, and we're going to talk about it one more time here in just a second. But a huge win for Jack State, 38-25. They get to 4-3 overall, 3-0 in conference. Brooks and the team that we saw on the field Wednesday night can absolutely go win this conference, especially sitting at 3-0, off to a great start, and two teams coming up on the schedule that are not the sharpest out of the conference. So I think if you're a Jack State fan, you feel really good about where the team is, where the team can go, especially given the schedule ahead. But real quick, how you doing?
Not too great right now because we just spent 30 minutes talking to each other, you know, not recording anything. But, hey, look at it this way. We got a good practice run in. So you guys should get a pretty good analyst because we or analysis because we just did this whole freaking thing. Anyways, yeah, doing good. Could not possibly feel better after the win that we had against Delaware last Wednesday night. I thought the offense made a lot of. I thought offense looked really solid. Caden Creel is slowly coming more and more into form. You know, really needs to work on his downfield vision a little bit more and getting more comfortable in the pocket. We'll deep dive into that here in a minute. Defense, I thought, played probably their first or probably their best game of the year. I won't say that, you know, aside from the fourth quarter, that, you know, they got sacks, they got turnovers. They really disrupted Minicucci and just kind of threw off their whole, really their whole offensive game plan. The only, you know, the only slights from this game were the fourth quarter when we, you know, took the foot off the gas a little bit too early, and didn't really make it. You know, we weren't scared that we were going to lose the game by any means, but just kind of like, all right, we might want to tighten up here a little bit because they got the onside kick and started feeling a little. Where we were sitting down the whole fourth quarter, we had to stand up for the last 5 minutes of it, really locked in. And Garrison Ripon missed two field goals, so that was very unusual of him, as he had not missed one on his own. The other two, the only two that he missed were blocked. But other than that, overall, I thought, you know, definitely that and the Murray game were probably our best. Probably the best game that we've put together all year, I would say.
Yeah, I agree. Especially the most complete we've seen them. Maybe besides that Liberty game, I thought they played four good quarters against Liberty. Yeah. I know Liberty's not a very good football team, so that win is not as impressive as we probably thought that it once was. I think Delaware is a good football team, and they looked incredible through three. They looked good against Liberty through the four quarter. They looked incredible through three quarters against Delaware. They were up 35-6 at one point. Brooks, like you said, they just, you know, that 38-25 final score does not tell the story. They, like you said, took the foot off the gas and just kind of coasted in that fourth quarter and gave up, you know, 13 points and scored three. Not a huge deal. They played when they needed to there in the fourth to put the game away. But overall, the offense ran for 255. All three rushing touchdowns come from Cam Cook, who, to be fair to Delaware, they did a relatively good job of limiting what he could do. Probably the best we've seen anybody play against him all year, aside from UCF, when the offense looked a lot different than it does now. So there's that also. But, I mean, 18 carries for 117 for Cam Cook, and he had a 66-yard run that really helped elevate those numbers. And, of course, the three touchdowns. But the story of the game was the Jack State defense through three quarters. Two huge turnovers Fumble recovery by Walker Osteen that was returned to the 4 or 5 yard line in the first to set up Jack State's first touchdown. And then Max Sanders just ripping the ball away from the Delaware receiver there, and Caleb Nix picking it up, picking it back for a touchdown. And real quick, while we're on topic, for a true freshman, I think Max Sanders might be the best defender on this defense. He looks just really, really good. I know it took injuries for us to see a lot of him. I know he played sparingly before the Gallagher injury and that kind of thing. And Thaxton Gallagher did play a little bit in this game there towards the very, very end. So maybe he's kind of getting to healthy to where he can contribute. But Max Sanders, as a true freshman, is extremely impressive. 10 total tackles led the team, 5 all by himself. He had a tackle and a half for loss. That leads a team in that category as well. I mean, he is all over the field in the middle of this defense all the time. So that recruiting story with Coach Kelly spend the night in his car because of the snowstorm to get Max Sanders is a paying off big time, because he is a difference maker on this defense, and he makes us a ton better. Sacks came from Curtis Perry and Isaac Walker. Again, we had 7 total tackles for loss, split among a bunch of people there. The secondary played pretty well for the most part. I know Minicucci ended with, 422 yards total, but a lot of that came in the fourth quarter. Delaware had to move the pocket to keep him out of pressure and different things. And, I mean, when you're up 35-6 late in the third quarter, you've played good on both sides of the ball, especially defensively. Secondary, like we said, played pretty well for the most part. Jaheim Jenkins had a really nice game. So, really, really, really good for the Jack State defense. And you guys did give your star of the game to the Jack State defense, and that is exactly where it should have been. I know Cam Cook scored 3 touchdowns, but 2 of those were set up, or really 1 of those, I guess, set up by the Jack State defense there with the Walker Osteen fumble recovery. All around, really, really impressive showing, and something I think they can build upon and get better as the year goes. As far as the offense, they didn't do anything just amazing overall. They took care of the ball. They were efficient. They didn't turn it over. And they ended up with 38 points and a win. Caden Creel, 14-21, 116 yards and a touchdown. Brooks, as far as we know and everybody else knows, his health should be okay. I know right after the game, Coach Clay said the x-rays were negative. It's on his left arm anyway, with a hyperextension. So they don't expect him to miss really any time. Brooks, I know you said he practiced today. This is recording this on Tuesday night. So he practiced today, which is good. So I don't expect him to miss any time. We're getting the off week at a good time. And if Jackson was playing tomorrow, maybe that's a different story, but they're going to get, you know, 7 more days until we play. So I don't expect Caden Creel to really miss much time there. He also ran it for 57 yards. Dalen Lockley got carries. Christian Lando got carries. Justice Savage got carries. Andrew Paul got carries. Hell, Juwan Campbell got a carry. They're late in the third quarter in a goal-to-go situation. I know me and Brooks were pulling for him to get in. We assumed he was just going to block when he went in, when they gave it to him. So hopefully we see in another game that Jack State's up big in, maybe we get that package back out there and get Mr. Campbell a touchdown, because that would be a lot of fun for a player who stuck around at Jack State when he probably had other offers. I mean, he played really well last year on the defensive line, and we were really happy to keep him after the Rich Rod departure. So hopefully they can get him a touchdown there before the season's over, especially if that's a package that they've got to work with. I think that's great. And as far as receiving goes, it was all the usual suspects with Rex Steiner and Coombs, and Cam Cook got a few catches there, Dylan Gentry, Pearson Baldwin, and then kind of the list goes on there. The only name absent is DeAndre Johnson. I don't need to tell you guys listening to us that Caden Creel did miss DeAndre Johnson on a just wide open, would have been a 60, 70-yard touchdown pass there in the middle of the second quarter. So there is, like I said, this was not a perfect game by Jack State. Caden Creel did miss DeAndre for what would have been his first touchdown in a Jack State uniform, but it'll come. Well, yeah, there's plenty of ball left for us to find him, but that one was rather frustrating to see as far as, I mean, he was completely blown coverage by Delaware. There was no one within 20 yards of him. He was running down the middle of the field. So tough there, but overall the offense I thought played well, very efficient. Like we said, they took care of the ball, no turnovers. And if the defense is going to play like this the rest of the year, The offense needs to wash, rinse, and repeat that performance. Cam Cook is going to have better games than what he did. So if you can repeat that exact performance and Cam Cook is better than what he just showed, you're going to win a lot of games in this conference. And you're going to put yourself in a position to win the conference. You're going to put yourself in a position to go to a good bowl game, whether that's in New Orleans or Orlando or Boca, wherever it's going to be. If the offense can do that performance on top of the same defensive prowess that we saw against Delaware. But overall, an extremely settling performance. I know after that Sam Houston game, the fan base, we felt a little bit like, okay, we're 3-3, we're 2-0 in conference, but man, we just barely beat the worst team in FBS. This was a much better showing. And this team, it's very clear now that they are really good at home and they are not great on the road, at least not yet. If they can find a way to take that showing on the road, they're going to be a great football team. We haven't seen it yet. The good news is that the next two teams they get on the road are also in the bottom three of the conference. So their road schedule in conference is very, very good for JSU. We've got Sam Houston, who's probably the worst team in football. And then we go on the road to Murfreesboro and on the road to El Paso and get Middle and UTEP there. And those two teams are not much better than Sam Houston. So that does work out in our favor. You know, we're not getting Western on the road. We're not getting Kennesaw on the road. Those games are at home, which is very good. We got Liberty at home, which is very good. So the road schedule does work out for Jack State, because as of now, what we've seen anyway, this team is you know, it's like two different teams from home and road. So if they can find a way to get that performance on the road, then I think we'll all feel much better. But I think everybody feels much better anyway after this one went final with what we saw through the first three quarters. Either way, you guys listen, obviously give your thoughts below on the game. We'll get in some more stuff here as we go. This is like Groundhog's Day for me and Brooks. We've talked about this already. But either way, beyond that, nothing much more to talk about. It was an overwhelming, I mean, it was a bludgeoning through three quarters, and then the fourth got a little bit ugly, but a really nice performance by JSU as a whole there. Other than that, we're a little bit late getting to you guys this week, but some other in-conference games from last week. Liberty beats New Mexico State 30-27. I believe that the Aggies missed a field goal there that would have forced overtime at the Horn. Liberty's 2-1 in conference. Like, there's a world where they get right, and maybe we see them in the title game if Jack State gets there. I'm just not quite there yet with Liberty, but to their credit, they're 2-1 in conference, and for the most part, they control their own destiny. If they win out, then you know, they're going to maybe punch their ticket into the title game again, but I just don't think that team's ready to win out just yet. UTEP beat Sam Houston 35-17. UTEP scored 14 in the fourth, went to the fourth. They were up by four, and they scored 14 there to really, really pull away from the Bearcats. That game in Houston, Texas, in front of seven people. It's a rough year for Sam Houston, man. Like, we've talked about it a few times. Like, they're always going to be kind of Jack State's sister school. You know, we got them a lot in the FCS days and moved up at the same time with them in this conference. Like, Jack State and Sam Houston go hand in hand a lot with a lot of things. We can kind of compare ourselves to what Sam Houston's doing, at least by experience level and that kind of thing. They were very good at the FCS level as well. But I'm not sure they've got a win on this schedule. I mean, they've lost to UTEP. That was their kind of what I thought might be their win. You know, they get Louisiana Tech to tomorrow in 10 days from now. They get, you know, Oregon State on the road in the middle of conference play. Like, I know Oregon State's like 1-7 and not very good, but like, man, who scheduled that? That just doesn't make a lot of sense. Then they get Delaware, then they get Middle, then they get FIU. Like, those are your last five games. Like, where are the wins going to come from for a team that's 0-7 and just got beat by, you know, 20 points to the second worst team in the conference? It's just tough for Phil Longo and the Bearcats this year. Now playing their games 90 miles away from home probably doesn't help either. And then the other game in conference from last week was kind of the shocker of the week. FIU 25, Western 6. That game was in Bowling Green. That was a home game for Western Kentucky. They get beat by 19. They could not do anything offensively. Whatever FIU did to slow down Western is what JSU needs to do. McIver threw three interceptions in this game. They tried Rodney Tisdale at some point at quarterback for Western. So whatever scheme FIU dialed up to slow down Western's passing attack, DSU needs to plagiarize that thing the last week of the year, because FIU seemed to have figured out how to stop Western. They get a huge win to get themselves to 1-1 in conference, at least for the time being. They're right now getting beat by Kennesaw 31-17. So unless they come back there, they'll fall to 1-2 tonight. And then another game going on now, Western 20, Louisiana Tech 14. So got a tight game there in Ruston. La Tech trying to get back on track, and so was Western. So this is a big game here that will go final on CBS Sports Network, probably about 10:30 Central Time. So those that are listening to the podcast know the outcome of that game, but that is being played now. But overall, as far as the conference looks go, that game in 2 weeks in Jacksonville between JSU and Kennesaw may decide one of the two title game teams, because Kennesaw looks like they're going to go to 3-0. Jack State's already 3-0 with two extremely winnable games coming up with Middle Tennessee State and UTEP. I don't see any reason to think that Jack State shouldn't be 5-0 in conference, playing at home in front of a sold-out Burgess Snowfield, taking on bitter rival Kennesaw with a right to maybe by that point lock yourself into the title game, or at least all but lock yourself into the title game. I mean, they win that one and get to 6-0 in conference, they're probably in, no matter what. So that looks more and more like that's going to be. That's at November 15th. It's going to be a huge game. I'm already excited thinking about it, but we've got two more before we get there. Obviously, bye week this week, then we get UTEP, or excuse me, then we get Middle, then we get UTEP on the road. So we got to take care of business there. We've got to look better than they did against Sam Houston. Like we said before, if they can take the team that we saw in Jacksonville Wednesday night to Murfreesboro and then to El Paso, they're going to be 5-0 going into that Kennesaw game that seems to be of utmost importance. But from Week 8, Conference USA play Jack State at least through Week 8. Couldn't be in a better spot. 3-0 in conference, two very winnable games coming up to get to 5-0, and bowl eligible as well. If they get those two wins. But I'm extremely impressed with what we saw Wednesday night, especially with how difficult this conference looks, which it does not look very difficult. I really like our chances to repeat as conference champions if that's the kind of play we're going to see.
Excuse me. Yeah, absolutely. The biggest thing that I want to see is just consistency. I want, you know, we've been kind of up and down. The UCF game was what it was. And overall, you know, for it to be as tight a game as it was, I thought we, you know, played good considering all the factors. And anyways, played good against UCF, or played decent against UCF, looked good against Liberty. And then we kind of fumbled around with Georgia Southern, just here and there. Offense played good, but the defense gave up too many big plays and specialties. Come back, play a really good game against a very bad, even for FCS standards, Murray State team. Then we go, and then the Southern Miss game just absolutely fell apart. Had to make a quarterback change. Just a lot that happened in that game. And then the same Houston game started off really well, and then just slowly let them creep back in. This Delaware game was undoubtedly the most well put together game that I think. Again, the fourth quarter let the foot off the gas too early and made things a little bit uncomfortable. Not to where, like I said earlier, not to where I felt like we were going to lose or anything, but started to get like, all right, we need to lock in here. Overall, I thought it was the most consistent that we've played in conference aside from Liberty. So that's what I want to see. Just keep building on that consistency. There were a lot of things that I thought we improved on, especially on defense. especially on defense, I thought we did I've been harping all season about defending the middle of the field. That's been just a gift to opposing offenses is how poorly we defend the middle of the field with slants and crossing patterns. And I thought we did a better, I won't say a great job. I thought we did a better job defending the middle of the field against Delaware. And a lot of it was, you know, they found those open receivers there in the fourth, but a lot of it was, a lot of it started from the pass rush being able to get to Minicucci and disrupt him and make him uncomfortable, force him out of the pocket and have to scramble to find an open receiver. That was rarely in the middle of the field. But even when he had time in the pocket, I thought we did a better job of taking away those receivers early on. I thought we gave up two. I thought we didn't give up just a ton of deep shots, but I thought we gave up more than, you know, what I'm comfortable giving up, especially when it does come time for that Western game where they do like to air out the deep ball a little bit more than Delaware. So I think that's something that we really need to, you know, make a, and we gave them up against Liberty. We gave them up a little bit against Georgia Southern. Didn't really give up a ton against Southern Miss, but, you know, that was one, I know one scoring play, and I think even a second against, Sam Houston. So that's the next thing that I think we really need to emphasize on in this off week and carry it over into the next two, putting it into action in the next two games. But overall, with the offense, I thought it was overall it was a pretty dang good game. They didn't let Cam Cook just run rampant on him. I know he had 117 yards, but, you know, 66 of it came from one play. They did a pretty decent job of zeroing in on him and not letting him just peel off these 25, 30 yard runs that we're so used to him. We're so used to him making. Still had the three touchdowns, still statistically an incredible night from him. Carrillo ran the ball well, both in read options, design quarterback runs, and being able to scramble. I think his biggest thing is I thought he threw the ball a lot better than what he did against, certainly what he did against Southern Miss, and even more than what he did against Sam Houston. I think he needs to be a little bit more patient in the pocket when it comes to facing pressure, because like you said, you know, he had the big one was, you know, DeAndre Johnson streaking naked down the middle of the field, like Will Ferrell from Old School, and missing him. And that was the big one, because he did have a defender off the edge in his face. And the second that he saw him coming, he kind of panicked and started trying to find running lanes. He needs to be a little bit more patient with his eyes. Or he needs to extend plays with his eyes, looking for open receivers more than his feet. He's a talented runner, don't get me wrong. That's where, you know, the last two games he's been our second leading rusher, or three games he's been our second leading rusher, Brian Cook. So I'm not saying don't do that. Don't take away, you know, take away his feet in those situations. But when the receivers are there, they are going to go, because he missed Rex Steiner. I know he missed Rex Steiner once, and I think he missed Baldwin and Glover a couple other times. letting the play develop, trusting in your offensive line and trusting in yourself to be able to make those plays with a defender in your feet. Cause I think we're going to face a lot better defensive lines, you know, when it comes to Kennesaw and Western and whoever we face in the conference championship, if we get there. But other than that, I was very impressed with Creel and his development. I'm glad he did get that full first to fourth quarter game against Sam Houston under his belt to get as comfortable as possible running this offense. And I think he's certainly the guy going forward. But overall, a really good game from Jack State. overall, really good game from Jack State. I just want to see this consistency continue. And with an off week and two of the bottom three teams in the conference coming up on our schedule, this is a great opportunity to keep building off this game and keep getting better, keep developing, keep creating that consistency, especially on the road. Like you said, Drew, we're able to do it at home. We have no problem doing it at home, but something about on the road just really, really throws us off. Could not have asked for two better matchups for that development and that consistency creation, I guess.
Yeah, if they're trying to get right on the road, I mean, you know, on the road at Murfreesboro against what'll likely be a 1-6 team, and then on the road in El Paso, which is a team that's got two wins at this point, is really all you can ask for. The schedule, you said, works out in Jack State's favor quite a bit. Again, overall, this team sitting at 4-3, 3-0 in conference, there's no reason to think that the goal is to win the league again. They should be sitting at 5-0 in conference when Kennesaw comes to town. That'll be a really tough game because, like you said, Kennesaw is 2-0 in conference. They're up by 14 right now with the football in the fourth quarter. So looks like they're on their way to putting FIU away. That's on the road too. That is in Florida, in Pitt Bowl Stadium. And first of all, FIU is wearing the greatest uniform combo combined with the field art I've ever seen. The Vice City end zone art.
It's the Miami Vice one.
Yeah, the Vice City end zone art and the black, pink, and blue. You know, I mean, they got something figured out down there with uniforms. But Kennesaw looks like they're going to go to 5-2 and move to 3-0 in conference. Right now, about 3 minutes left in the third. Western's up by 6, 20-14, but Louisiana Tech has the ball and is driving. So I think we're probably pulling for La Tech there. That'll put Western at 3-2. And if Western's at 3-2 or with two losses when Jack State gets to them, if Jack State's able to win out until they get there, that game becomes a non-factor for JSU, at least as far as the Western Kentucky aspect goes. So, Western and La Tech meeting both with just one loss, I think, is advantageous for Jack State, where one of those teams will leave with two losses tonight. So, whoever that may be, but the conference is shaping up to work out in JSU's favor. Last thing I want to get at before we get out of your hair, the atmosphere Wednesday night was really, really good. It was not maybe at the level of what we saw in that Liberty game a couple of years ago, or even like the Sam Houston semifinal game in 2015, but overall the atmosphere was really nice. I think it was 18 or 19,000 was what the final tally there was. The home side filled up really nice. The student section filled up really nice. I know Delaware didn't travel at all. I know we looked over there when the game started, and there was a lot of blue and yellow, but I think Piedmont brought their Pee-wee team to the game, and it looked a lot like the Delaware blue and yellow. So that was a weird thing to see, but it's expected. I mean, Delaware, it's probably a 10-hour trip on Wednesday night is not doable for a lot of people. So that's just the midweek games is really good for Jack State. ESPN, that's really good for the university, being on a national stage like that. And the field looked great with the weekday USA kind of below the logo. And we had new like wall banners around. I don't know if anybody noticed those. We had like all our conference championships in the field house end zone. I thought looked really nice. So. I thought it was a good showing for JSU, especially on the field. But as far as the atmosphere, and I haven't seen the broadcast yet. I've got to record it. I'll go back and watch it at some points. I don't know how the broadcast was, but at least from in the stadium with like the Southerners getting their full halftime show and the lights doing their things during touchdowns during the halftime show, it was a really, really good night in Jacksonville. Aside from what we saw on the field, just everything together, I thought it was done really well. So I did want to talk about that real quick before we left. Just how happy I was with the environment and the atmosphere and that kind of thing. We can probably fit a few more in the seats against Kennesaw. So, we had 18 or 19, like we said there against, Delaware. I'd like to think we can get over that 20 number that we've been over a few times there against Kennesaw, especially if that game is going to be at the importance level that we think it's going to be.
Yeah, and I wanted to touch on that. I'm glad you brought up about the crowd and the atmosphere. Absolutely phenomenal for a Wednesday night game. You know, we went on a Delaware podcast last week to preview this game, and we got asked a shout out Feathers and Field Goals. But we went on their podcast and we got asked about playing these. You know what the crowds and the atmosphere has been like for these midweek games, because this was their first one, or one of their first ones, and we told them it's been really good. You know, going back to 2 years ago when we had that first one against Liberty, that one we didn't get the result that we wanted, but the crowds have been good. Students showed up, and now. With a light show at the fourth quarter, and just everything that goes into it, really turned into a really great home atmosphere for midweek games. We always have a good one for Saturday games, but the midweek games have just been nothing short of phenomenal. I did read a tweet though that said Delaware at Jacksonville State on Wednesday drew 580,000 viewers on ESPN, more viewers than the Panthers and Red Wings on TNT. Or AEW wrestling. I think the only other major sporting event going on that night was the Blue Jays and Mariners, and of course they had 4.5 million. But for to be the jokes always get made about Maction, and there being 10 people in the stadiums up there in the middle of November, and and having these just god awful games. For Conference USA to kind of get poked fun of as one of the worst conferences, to have what ended up being a pretty decent game for the average viewer, and outdrawing the dang National Hockey League and pretty popular wrestling league, I think that says something about where we are in our FBS journey. Getting the national exposure that we're getting, and playing on the main ESPN channel as opposed to ESPN2 or ESPNU has a lot to play in it too. But could not be more proud of our fans and our home atmosphere. And if you want to get real technical about it, Greg Seitz for
yes sir,
making this jump and getting this exposure. And I know a lot of people don't care about viewer ratings, but that number goes a lot towards us when it comes to making money and getting new football facilities, even new buildings on campus, and just so many different things. It goes a long way. But I thought that was really cool. And I know that's our only home midweek game of the year, but I was a little skeptical about it once we made the jump, but. I love it. I love those midweek games.
Yeah, I do too. There's no way around it that it's not really good for university. Even if the CBS Sports Network or ESPN2, those are still good for university. But when you get one per year on the mothership there, it like you said, Brooks, over 500,000 viewers, and we out viewed hockey, and the NHL and the wrestling there, like that's. That's a huge deal for JSU. I mean, there was time not that long ago that we watched games on the OVC.net website. And sometimes those camera work. You're right, or TV24. Sometimes those camera angles work, and sometimes you miss some of the action. This has been, quite the journey in those midweek games. I know the midweek schedule for Jack State this week, or this year, I should say, two of them are on the road. The road midweek kind of sucks. Like, obviously, it's good for the university to still be on TV midweek, even if they're on the road or at home. But there's not a lot of folks traveling to El Paso on a Wednesday night. It's just not doable for everybody. Same for Jack State, Houston. There's not a lot that can travel to Texas on a Wednesday night or Tuesday night. But the ones that are at home, and I expect Jack State to get two at home next year. I don't know if they're going to go on like a, you know, 2-1, 2-1 pace for home and away midweek games, but I'd like to think that we're going to see Jack State at home twice next year as opposed to just once, which will be obviously really good. But yeah, like you said, there's nothing better that this conference does for its teams besides getting them on national TV middle of the week that they do. So hats off to the conference also for getting that and working that out. That's obviously a big boost to everything. And then we got indoor practice facilities coming. Like Jack State going forward with how much they're committed to this football program should be able to out-recruit all other teams in this conference. Whatever teams it look like unless we add Sac State and all the money that they have, because if those that don't know, they've got millions of dollars. They are an FBS team. They at least have that amount of money. Unless we add Sac State to this conference, Jack State should out-recruit everybody else. Maybe Liberty's going to be on par with them due to just financial reasons. Like, Liberty's got a lot of money as well. But, like, as far as facility goes, like, the field house is brand new. All the locker room stuff, football team's brand new. They're getting the indoor facility soon. Like, they should be able to out-recruit this conference. That includes Western. That includes Delaware. That includes Sam Houston. And that almost includes Liberty. If it wasn't for the financial difference between Jack State and Liberty, it would include Liberty as well. Like, JSU should be able to remain competitive in this conference no matter what, just because they're going to have the facilities that are much better than the average conference team going forward. And Coach Kelly has already proven to be an elite level recruiter, obviously, before he was at Jack State. And since he got here, you know, and the Max Sanders story we talked about earlier kind of goes to show his level of getting talent here is that's not going away anytime soon. So I'm, you know, excited about this year, of course, and what was some people said a rebuild year and Jack State was going to go from first to last. I don't think we ever thought that was going to be the case. But it seems like they might go from first to first, you know, under a new regime. But, you know, if you're excited about this year and had the improvement that we've seen from week one, I mean, this team should stay at this level or even better just based on how much attention that the university is putting into this program and how much help they're getting. Which is awesome for us running the show and awesome for you guys listening. I mean, we're going to do a little more basketball this year. We want the basketball team to succeed, obviously. And Coach Harper, you know, has done an incredible job since we've hired him of taking this team place we haven't seen before. This is a football-first university. It's a football-first show. We are football-first fans. We want to see this team compete and win conference titles year in and year out. And they are setting themselves up to be able to do that for quite a long time. So, I think there's no reason not to be really excited about this year and 10 years from now for what JSU football might look like. So anyway, we've rambled on long enough now. We've got an off week, so we didn't have anything to talk about, so we did some different stuff. But we'll leave you guys there. We will get the Middle Tennessee preview up probably a few days before that game plays. Just so everybody's aware, I'm getting married 2 days after that game. So when you see the post-game recap of that, we'll let you know. Life's going on and that kind of thing, but we'll be kind of moving around. Obviously, we'll see the game and whatnot. We'll watch it and tweet and that kind of thing. But as far as when the post-game middle show might come up, that'll definitely be a two-for-one week to where you'll get the UTEP preview in the middle post-game at the same time. We'll try to get it up on our normal schedule. Just depends on where we are in time and space. But beyond that, go find us on Twitter as usual. We get a lot of, like I said, great interaction with you guys as always over there. Again, I'm going to say it. I think we're getting close to a bingo for those of you that are playing. So I know we've got a couple of you guys that have DM'd us and stuff that are getting close. For everybody else that's still playing, I don't forget about the bingo slip we got going on because I think we're getting really close to hitting one of those. But beyond that, we'll get out of here. We'll see you guys in a few days with the Middle Tennessee State preview and we'll go from there.
Yep. See y'all.